very brilliant, Brahma Tejasa, by dint of Brahman effulgence. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Kratu's wife Kriya gave birth to 60,000 great sages named the Balakhillas. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge, and their bodies were illuminated by such knowledge. Please repeat. Kratu's wife Kriya gave birth to 60,000 great sages named the Balakhillas. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge, and their bodies were illuminated by such knowledge. Purport. Kriya was the sixth daughter of Kardama Muni, and she produced 60,000 sages, who are known as the Balakhillas because they all retired from family life as vanaprasthas. So, another verse with a very short purport. This is the genealogical table of daughters of Manu. So previous chapter described Manu had three daughters. They were Akuti, Devahuti and Prashuti. So Devahuti was married to Kardama Muni, a very exalted sage, who is actually the son of Lord Brahma. Son of Lord Brahma means he came from the body of Brahma. From Brahma's mouth he came, Kardama Muni. And he was absorbed in spiritual activities, performing austerities. And Svayambhuva Manu, who was actually the ruler of the planet, he decided to offer his daughter Devahuti to Kardama. Akuti was already given to another exalted sage, Ruchi, and Prashuti was given to Daksha. So these are the three daughters, and from these three daughters came various entities. And that is the description given here, the genealogical table, the daughters of Manu. So, Kardama Muni had 9 daughters and 1 son. So first the daughters came, so we have seen that how those daughters were given to different sages. So, 6th daughter, one of his 9 daughters is Kriya. She is the 6th one. She was given in marriage to, here we are seeing that Kriya was given to Kratu. So this another thing is, these are the exalted Prajapatis, the sons of Brahma. Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira. Previous verse actually describe the offsprings of Angira. One of Kardama Muni's daughters were given to Angira, and as a result of that, Angira's given, her name is Shraddha. And Angira got 4 daughters through Shraddha. They are Shinibali, Kuhu, Raka and Anumati. And besides the 4 daughters, she also had another 2 sons. One of them is known as Utattha and the other one is Brihaspati. Brihaspati is very famous as the guru of the demigods. So, Sunil, just came?
Just came.
Okay. Thanks for coming. So, Brihaspati is the Deva Guru, the Guru of the demigods. Now, does it sound like fairy tales or mythology? Like mythical, fictitious stories? Or these are recorded history? What does it sound like? So, with that understanding, we must approach the Vedic scriptures. They are recorded genealogical tables. In India, it's a very common practice to have the table of the family line. It goes many hundreds of generations before, and people feel proud, especially the civilized families. They have the recorded history. How it is kept also is very wonderful. The custom is very wonderful. That as soon as the child is born, there is a horoscope made of him. What will be the person's life like? What will be his character life like? And they are recorded, they are kept. Generation after generation, they are kept. That the family line. So here we are seeing the custom. It actually, this tradition, this practice came from the beginning of creation. Brahma is the first one. Then from Brahma came different Prajapatis, the progenitors. And from them came different types of living entities. Some were demigods, like we saw. Atri had three sons, and who are those personalities? Soma, Dattatreya, and Durvasa. So we get to know about these personalities, like in the Vedic scriptures, in the Puranas, in the Itihashas. There is a description. There is so many. Yesterday we were describing about Durvasa, or it was a day before yesterday. Durvasa's character. Yesterday I was describing. So, and now he's seeing who is this personality, who is his father. There's a very vivid description. Like, it's not just a character out of the blue. Somebody imagines. Just like so many characters are created nowadays. So many, like, people write stories. And those stories are made into movies. Harry Potter. Or Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Now somebody imagines some characters and he portrays the character and his activity. But that is not the case with the Vedic culture. There is no room for imagination. Actually, in Vedic culture, there was no imaginary presentation. Whatever was written is factual. Descriptions, factual record. Like, I remember when I was young, my superiors, my aunt, my mother, not so much my mother, because my mother died when I was very young, and so especially my aunts and all, they were very much against me reading the novels and other books. And I couldn't understand why they were against reading those books. why they were against my reading those, our reading those books. When I didn't understand the reason until I came to ISKCON and became exposed to Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Because they could not, it was unacceptable that stories and fairy tales and all those were, that is, concocted stories were written. Because the writing should be authorized, factual. Mahabharata, Ramayana, that was the Vedic culture. Whatever they wrote was all real happenings. Even there were writers that wrote different types of dramas and other things, but they were all based on facts. Like, for example, when we see Kalidas's writings, what did Kalidas write? Shakuntala. Is Shakuntala a fictitious character? Shakuntala is from the history, from Mahabharata, a real personality. She lived. She is the daughter of who is the father of Shakuntala? Vishwamitra. And who is the mother? Yes. And Apsara came to disturb Vishwamitra in his meditation. And as a result of that, this girl was born. This daughter was born. But Menaka left after the childbirth. She said, "Now my mission is accomplished. Indra sent me to distract Vishwamitra from his meditation. And now the mission has been accomplished, the daughter has been born," and she left. And she left the daughter in the forest. And then Panna Muni, a great sage, found her. He saw some birds were protecting, some birds were gathering together, and they were doing, he was curious to see what these birds were doing. And he went there and found that the birds spreading their wings are protecting this little baby. So he picked up the girl. And because this baby was protected by Shakunta, another Sanskrit word for birds is Shakunta. Therefore he gave her the name Shakuntala. Now Vishwamitra is a real character, Menaka is a real character, the daughter Shakuntala is a real character. And then Shakuntala, in course of time, got married to Dushyanta, the king. And Dushyanta got married to her just by meeting her in the forest, in the ashram of Panna Muni, when he was not there. Seeing her beauty, he became attracted to her and he wanted to marry her. So he got married, but Shakuntala couldn't leave home without her father's permission, without her foster father's permission. So she said, "Look, I'll have to wait till my father came back." And Dushyanta said, "Okay." And then when the father came back, Shakuntala told everything. And she said, "Okay, now that you are married, you go to your husband's house." And she was sent to the capital of the king. And it's real, although he wrote a drama, but the drama was based on real happening. Similarly, there was another drama of Kalidas is Vikram Urvashiya. The king Vikramaditya was the king. And it was a narration of his activity. So in this way, in the Vedic time, whatever was written, they were all the recorded history, the happenings that took place. There was no room for imagination and presentation in the form of writing. You may tell stories, that's another thing, like children were told stories. But that's another thing. But those, even as children, what they were told? They were told the stories of Mahabharata, not Harry Potter. So that is the Vedic culture. But the British came and they introduced this novel. The fictitious stories were introduced by the British. And Indians, being influenced by the British education, they picked up that culture. But prior to that, there was no such imaginary presentation in the form of writing as novels. The Bengali expression for that was Natak novel. Natak means drama and novel. And after, it's only, as I was saying, only after coming across Srila Prabhupada's teaching I realized why my aunts were upset when they saw me reading this novel. Because they were presentation of imaginary things, imaginary happenings. Now, as a result of that, what happened? Now, the Vedic literatures, which is the presentation of the true reality and the absolute truth, that is accepted, that is kind of taken as the fictitious narrations. See the thing, the transformation? Because they have presented falsity in the form of writing, the Vedic writings have been accepted as false. And as a result of that, Indians today are not at all interested in the Vedic culture, Vedic literatures. How many people read Bhagavad Gita? How many of us would have read Bhagavad Gita had we not have come across Srila Prabhupada? And even if we read, how many of us would have understood the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? I remember, yes, I used to read Bhagavad Gita. I used to carry a Bhagavad Gita. I think I wrote at least about 6 different translations of Bhagavad Gita. And although I was thinking that I was understanding so much, but then I realized I understood nothing. In this respect also, anyway, so that is the thing. Until and unless you come across Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Srila Prabhupada's presentation, Srila Prabhupada's explanations, through his Bhaktivedanta purport, we did not actually have a proper understanding of the Vedic scriptures, Vedic literatures. And when Prabhupada came, when he became exposed to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, then it became clear. Yes, this is what a Bhagavad Gita actually meant. This is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. This is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. That's why it is so important to study some subject under the guidance of a qualified teacher. Every subject has to be studied under the guidance of a qualified teacher. Otherwise, we cannot possibly understand the subject properly. Can you become a master of a subject by buying some books on the market? How many of you are professionals here? How many of you have studied engineering? Okay. And, okay. So, how did you become an engineer? Did you buy some books on the market, Mr. Banerjee? Just bought some books on the market and studied and became an engineer? What do you have to do? You have to go to the right college. And you have to study the curriculum under the guidance of qualified teachers. And as a result of that, you understood the subject. So similarly, when it's a matter of understanding the spiritual topic, we have to study under the proper books under the guidance of qualified teachers. Just as to study in engineering, you have to go to some engineering college. IIT or MIT or like different engineering colleges. Similarly, if you want to study spiritual topic, you have to go to a college. You have to go to a university. And the name of that university is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. ISKCON. At least that's what happened to me. I came to this institution, I got the prescribed books and studied it under the guidance of qualified teachers. And as a result of that, today I can speak on that topic with some authority. Authority because one has to be convinced about the topic, and then only he can speak with authority. One has to study the subject, master the subject properly before he can present it to others for their benefit. First we become students, then you become teachers. And when we are qualified teachers like that, then we can impart the knowledge. What's the qualification of a spiritual teacher? The qualification of the spiritual teacher is that he must know Krishna. Kiva vipro kiva nashi shudra kene noy jai Krishna tattva vetta shei guru. It doesn't matter whether one is a Brahman or a Kshatriya or Vaishya or Sudra. Kiva vipro. Vipra means Brahman. Or whether he is a sannyasi or a grihastha or a vanaprastha or a brahmachari. It doesn't matter. His physical status is not important. Kiva vipra kiva nashi shudra kenena. Even if he is a shudra, what to speak of a shudra? Even if he is a chandal, the lowest of mankind. Chandalopi dijasreshto haripakti parayana. Even if a chandal becomes a hari devotee of Krishna, then he becomes superior to a brahmana. So, this is the qualification. Jai Krishna Tattva Vetta, Shai Guru. One who knows Krishna, he can become a spiritual master. He can become a teacher of the spiritual subject. So that is the only qualification. He must know Krishna. Because spiritual life means understanding Krishna. Why Krishna? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Because if you understand Krishna, then you'll understand everything. If the highest topic is understood, then all the subservient topics are automatically understood. Or another way it has been described is that just like when the sun comes up, with the light of the sun, you can see the sun, you can see yourself, and you can see everyone else. So similarly, Krishna Surya Shama. Krishna is like the sun. So when you get to know Krishna, then in the light of that knowledge, you get to know Krishna, you get to know yourself, and you get to know everybody. Yashmin vigyate sarvamevam vigyatam bhavati. Knowing him, everything becomes known. So that is the absolute truth. So this topic is a science. It is not some imaginary consideration. It's not such in some imaginary presentation. Is the reality, is the truth. And along with Krishna consciousness, we are seeing the scriptures are giving us such vast information. Srimad Bhagavatam, as we discussed many times, Bhagavatam has 10 aspects. Starting from creation, since primary creation, secondary creation, the planetary systems, then the, how the Lord is maintaining everything, and how the this material nature is continuing generation after generation through procreation. So in this way, different aspects of this knowledge has been very systematically presented. So that is the absolute truth. Here, as we are seeing, like we are discussing about the secondary creation, the creation that came after Brahma, Brahma's sons, then their offspring, and how this way different species of living entities came. Like here is a description of Kulastha, another son of Brahma, one another Prajapati. From Kulastha came Kulastha from his wife Habirbhu, got a son named Agastha, and he had another son, Vishrava. And you know who, do you remember? Who is Vishrava? Ravan's father. So Ravan also is not a fictitious character. His, we have seen Kulastha, Kulastha, Vishrava, and Vishrava's son are Vaishravan, that his first son is Kubera, and then Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Vibhishan and Surpanakha. So these are the like Rakshas. Who is Ravana? Rakshasa. So the Rakshasas came from Kulastha. In this way, from Kashyap, through his wife Diti, came Daitas, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Then the birds came from also Kashyap. Kashyap had a wife called Vinata, and from him came Garuda and Arun. Then he had another wife, Kadru, and from Kadru came all the serpents, the snakes. So the snakes, the birds, all different living entities, how they came into being, have been described in this chapter. In this aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called Visarga. Now when we study this and we see things in the light of the scriptures, then you get a very clear understanding of this material nature. And what is the bottom line? What is the basic understanding behind all this teaching? The basic understanding is the spirit soul and living entity. The spirit soul get different types of bodies. Now we got the human body. Previously we had another body. We don't even remember now. But for so many lifetimes we are traveling in this material nature, transmigrating from one body to another body. Dhamayan sarva bhutani jantra rudhani mayaya. The spirit souls are traveling in this material nature, riding in different types of machines. Jantra rudhani, riding on different types of machines. And what are those machines? Those machines are these bodies. Sometimes we have a human body, sometimes we have an animal body, sometimes we have a serpent body, sometimes we have an insect body, sometimes we have a demigod's body. So these bodies are made of matter, but who is the personality who is riding these bodies? Just like a vehicle, the passenger rides in the body, or machine, the vehicle. So who is the passenger? The spirit soul. And what is the spirit soul doing? Traveling in the different types of bodies in this material nature. Why? The living entities are subjected to that. Because the living entities wanted to become independent of Krishna. Those who wanted to become independent of Krishna, they are put into this cycle of birth and death in different types of bodies as a result of their actions. We are set free. Okay, you want to be independent? Fine, go. Krishna made that happen. Go. If you want to be independent, go to the material nature. Because in the spiritual world, no one can be independent. In the spiritual world, everybody has to be dependent upon Krishna. If anyone doesn't want to be dependent upon Krishna, if someone doesn't want to accept the supremacy of Krishna or the authority of Krishna, he loses his right to stay in the spiritual world. So they are just sent to this material. They say, fine, you want to be independent? You can fulfill your desire. But what will be the result of your independence? You have to suffer the consequences of your action. Because you are independent, you are responsible for your action. The way you are acting, you have to suffer the consequences or reaction. That reaction is called karma. You act and you are liable to the reaction of your action. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahamkara vimhuratma kartaha miti manvati. In the material nature, everyone is subjected to guna and karma. The three modes of material nature and one's own activity. You act in a mode of goodness, immediately the reaction, or as a result, the reaction will be in the mode of goodness. You act in the mode of passion, all the actions are taking place in different modes. And as a result of that, you are getting the reaction. You act in the mode of passion, the reaction will be accordingly. You act in the mode of ignorance, the reaction will be accordingly. And in this way, one is becoming subjected to different types of bodies. Uddhangacchanti sattastha. Those who are situated, those who are acting in the mode of goodness, they go up. Madhye tishtati rajasa. Those who are acting in the mode of rajogun, mode of passion, they stay in the middle. That is the earth planet, middle planet. And jaghanna guna pritishya adho vachanti tamasha. And those who are acting in the mode of ignorance, they are sliding down, adho vachanti tamasha. And in the earth planet also we are seeing, those who act in the mode of goodness, they get one kind of life. Those who act in the mode of passion, they get another kind of reaction. Even the human beings, we act in the mode of goodness. Like you are good boys, studying nicely, and come out with good results, what will happen? You'll get a good future. You act in the mode of passion, then the result will be suffering. Passion. You are in the college, but you are not studying. You are interested in fooling around. Then what happens? You are trying to enjoy in the college, and the result of that, what will happen? Consequently, you will suffer. And you act in the mode of ignorance. Don't study, sleep, take drugs, and lead your life in an ignorant way, then what will happen? So we are seeing, and then also, if one acts in a mode of ignorance, even in among the living entities, they get animal body, insect body. And those who are acting in the mode of goodness, they get demigods. So in this way, we are seeing how everyone is subjected to his own action. We cannot blame anything. If something wrong happens to us, we can't blame anybody but ourselves. We have to understand that we must have done something wrong, and as a result of that, we are getting the reaction. And the reaction is suffering. So that is the real knowledge. Now, by forgetting Krishna, we have come here. By denying Krishna's authority, we have been plunged into the material nature. Now, is it nice to be in the material nature? If you think that it's nice to be in the material nature, then good luck. Stay here for life after life. Keep on transmigrating from one body to another. The consequence is suffering. Janma mritya jara badhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. If you think that there is a lot of enjoyment in the material nature, wait till you become old. Jara. If you think this material nature is a wonderful place, then wait till you get some disease. And then we'll come and ask you, so how are you feeling now? You thought that this material nature is a wonderful, wonderful place of enjoyment. When you're suffering from disease, how do you feel? Do you like it? No. And then what to speak of at the time of death? Jara, badhi, mrityu. Dukkhalayam, this material nature is a place of suffering. Dukkhalayam. And if you think that you are enjoying, then is ashvashyatam. That enjoyment, ashvashyatam, is only temporary. You are enjoying now, but for how long will the enjoyment last? Only for a very short while. Yes, you may have made a very nice arrangement for yourself. You have a nice, you made very nice arrangement. You made lots of money. You made beautiful arrangements for your house. You have a nice family and everything. But for how long? How long will that last? So that is the real knowledge. The happiness in this material nature is only transient. It's only temporary. What really is the reality is that janma mritya jara badhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Therefore, an intelligent person will make it a point to free himself from this condition. And what is the way to free oneself from this suffering condition? The way to free oneself from the suffering condition is to take shelter of. That's why you tell people, okay, if you are thinking that you are enjoying and you don't need Krishna, fine. Keep on enjoying. But someday if you suffer, then you can remember us. And you can give us a call. We'll come. And then we'll talk to you about Krishna consciousness. So, that offer is open. If you feel that you are suffering, or if you are ever in a suffering condition, then you can come and we'll have a nice discussion. And then we can tell you what is the way to get out of the suffering condition. And I know that time you'll listen. Because that time you'll be in a desperate need to get out of the suffering condition. And the process is available. What is the process? Surrender to Krishna. You surrender to Krishna and all the suffering condition will disappear immediately. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishyami ma sukha. Krishna is giving the assurance. You surrender unto me. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Then I will deliver you from all your suffering condition. Don't worry. So time and time again, Srila Prabhupada, through his books, are giving us that reminder. And it's nice that so many of you are accepting Srila Prabhupada's teachings so seriously and trying to elevate yourself to the spiritual path. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Okay, questions from the internet. This is being broadcasted with, how many were watching today? Huh? 32. Okay, this came from Guru Gauranga from Orlando. Srila Prabhupada has given us so many books. Did he want ISKCON to set the subject out in a systematic curriculum? If so, when will this be done? Yes, thank you Guru Gauranga for this very nice, very pertinent question. Yes, any systematic study needs a proper curriculum, how to study the subject. Just like we do. Like there are many books, but all those books are systematically categorized. The first, when a child is beginning, then he gets to get some pictorial books. What do you call them? Some picture books. Right? And then he learns A, B, C, D. Then he goes to the next step. Little more informative. In this way, step by step, he goes to from secondary school, he goes to high school. From high school, he goes to college. From college, he goes to university. And in a university, he does his master's. And after a master's, he does his PhD and so forth. And for different topics, different subjects, different grades, there are different curriculums. So yes, this has to be systematically done. And for that matter, Prabhupada has given us a curriculum, basic curriculum. First is, what is the beginning study? Bhagavad Gita. Then Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada also gave different stages like Bhakti Shastri, then Bhakti Vaibhav, then Bhakti Vedanta, then Bhakti Sarvabhauma. So these are the different levels of studies. And it will be, and actually it is important that in the schools, when we teach our students, there should be some systematic presentation. Like, since our main objective is preaching, the emphasis had been in the preaching, but now that ISKCON, you see, when Prabhupada started the movement, there were very few, Prabhupada had very little time, and there were very few individuals who were helping Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada used every possible means to spread Krishna consciousness. But now that this movement is spreading, and those days most of our members were grown up who voluntarily joined this ISKCON, but we also have now our own children. They need to be guided from the very beginning, from the primary or even kindergarten stage. So our Krishna conscious syllabus have to be made accordingly. So that's a very good point that you brought up. So another question. We also learn in Srimad Bhagavatam how living entity's life, how a living entity's life, that is action, is controlled by different demigods. So how should we accept the concept of independence of a jiva in context to his free will in this material world? This is from Bamsi Bihari Das. Okay. The demigods are actually the controllers of different modes or different affairs of the material nature. That the demigods are not partial. They are completely impartial. The demigods are absolutely impartial. And they are simply giving the results of the action. Demigods' activities can be compared to a bank clerk. The bank clerk is giving the money according to the person's ability to draw or what he deserves, or like the accounts department that is paying the salary at the end of the month. Somebody is getting a few hundred thousand rupees salary. Somebody is getting a few thousand dollars salary, and somebody is getting few rupees salary. Now, the accounts department is not deciding themselves how much should get one. It is according to the category and their service that they are getting the salary at the end of the month. Somebody is a big executive, he is drawing a big salary. Accounts department is issuing the check. And somebody is a daily laborer, he is just getting a few thousand rupees. So demigod's business is something like that. As one acted, in whichever mode they acted, the demigods are giving the results. But that also under the supervision of Krishna. So, and on top of everything, that as you mentioned, that where is the concept? So how should we accept the concept of independence of the jiva? Actually, the jiva's free will, the independence or his free will, is simply for two directions. One is the jiva's independence is only to decide whether he will act for his own enjoyment or whether he will act for Krishna's pleasure. Now, if a jiva acts for his own enjoyment, then he will be in the material nature. But if he acts for Krishna's pleasure, then he will be transported to the spiritual world. That is the only independence he has. He can decide whether he is going to act for himself or whether he is going to act for Krishna. If our actions are motivated by our own enjoyment, then yes, we have the independence. We can decide to do that. But the result will be, the consequence will be, we will be subjected to the reaction. But if we act on behalf of Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, then we will become free from material bondage and go back to the spiritual sky. Like a prisoner. The prisoner can decide whether he will maintain his criminal mentality or whether he will submit to the king. If the prisoner decides that, well, now I learnt my lesson, I broke the law, and as a result of that I am subjected to the prison house, punishment in the prison. Now, let me appeal to the king. My dear king, my lord, please forgive me for all my misgivings, for all my mistakes. And I promise that from now on I will be only surrendered to you. Then what will the king do? The letter will be transmitted to the king, and the king will then have him freed from the imprisonment. Okay, quite a few questions are coming from the internet. As far as my understanding, this is from Jayesh. As far as my understanding, Krishna Tattva Vetta means who has full realization of Krishna. This understanding are not merely scriptural knowledge. There are so many big pandits of scriptures, but they may not be a guru unless they realize Krishna properly. Am I right? Yes, Jayesh, you are very right. Thank you. He has to understand Krishna. Not just collective of scriptures is enough. But if you understand that Krishna is God, then you can go and tell everybody. Krishna is God. Surrender to Him. Then you will become, then you are doing the job of a guru. Guru's business is to remind everybody that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our business is to surrender to Him. The next question is, Bharat, is although we know that surrender to Krishna is the solution of all problems, but it seems in our lives that complete surrender is very difficult to obtain. How to increase surrender to Krishna? Just practice. Sadhana bhakti. It is difficult. Surrender is difficult. To completely surrender is difficult. But at least keep trying to surrender. You may not be completely surrendered right at the beginning, but at least try to surrender. And then in this way, when you surrender, and you get the taste of surrender, we begin to realize the benefit of surrender, then the degree of your surrender will increase. The child doesn't want to surrender to the father. Right? And as a result of that, what happens? He suffers. He thinks, okay, I don't want to submit to my father, I'll be independent. Then what he'll have to do? He'll have to fend for himself. Independent. The father says, okay, fine. Become independent. So from now on, no more food in the house. You go and fend, fetch your food. Will it be easy for a child to fetch the food for himself? Will it be easy for the child to pay different bills that... Will it be easy for him to find a house where to live in? If he has to make all the arrangements? He can make the arrangements, but those arrangements will be very difficultly obtained. But then he realizes his mistake and he says, okay, Father, I'm sorry, I'm hungry. I surrender to you. The father gives him some food. Then he says, well, by surrendering to him, I got the food. Without any effort. He says, Father, I will surrender to you even more. The father says, okay, then come back to the house. Then he doesn't have to look for a house for himself. His father's palace is there. He can live with his father. And he, in this way, he sees the benefit of surrender. And then he finally says, okay, Father, I completely surrender to you. Then father says, okay, I'll take care of you completely. So that is the benefit of surrender. We start surrendering, we may start surrendering a little bit. Krishna, I am in very great difficulty, please give me 1,000 rupees. So Krishna gives 1,000 rupees. Krishna doesn't give it himself, but Krishna makes arrangement. Now all of a sudden you see that somebody just came and gave you 1,000 rupees. And you think, oh, just by surrendering to Krishna, asking, begging to from Krishna, I got this. So, and then, but one may think, well, it happened by chance. I prayed, but Mr. So-and-so came and gave me the money. Krishna didn't give me the money. After, it's very natural for us to forget about Krishna after we get the benefit from it. But then, we have another problem. This time we need 10,000 rupees. And we pray to Krishna and the money comes. And then also think that it may have happened accidentally. Then we have a problem for 1 lakh rupees. And we pray to Krishna and we get it from Krishna. We see that the problem is solved. Then we begin to wonder, after all, Krishna heals. And when we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna provides. So this is how our faith increases and our surrender becomes genuine. And then finally we say, well, then why should we hold back? Krishna is there taking care of me so wonderfully. Just surrender to Him. Let Him take care of me. Surrender means I don't have to make any arrangement for myself. I'm just leaving it up to Krishna to decide how he wants to do it for me. So that is the meaning of surrender. Let him take care. And he does take care. Sooner we recognize that, it's better for us. Okay, so any other question? Yes, Krishna Chan.
Now, when we see the life of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he suffers with cancer. He was a part of God. Then, even if you are a part of God, I don't know.
Everyone is a part of God, not only Ramakrishna Paramahansa, even you are a part of God.
So,
okay, so your point is that even though one surrenders to Krishna, he suffers. That's the point, right? Yes. One may apparently go through the suffering condition, but he doesn't get affected by the suffering. Like for example, the doctor is operating upon the patient. Does the patient feel any pain? Why not? Because of anesthetics. Why? What is the meaning of anesthetics? Anesthetics, what does it do? It withdraws your consciousness. Right? Because you are not conscious of the body or that particular part of the body, you don't really notice what's happening to you. Now, Krishna consciousness means your consciousness is projected onto Krishna. When your consciousness is projected onto Krishna, then do you have your consciousness in the body? Then does it matter what is the body going through? No. So that is, through anesthetics it happens artificially, but through Krishna consciousness it happens naturally. Yes, apparently devotee goes through different physical difficulties, but he doesn't get affected by them because his consciousness is somewhere else. Yes, Krishna-chan. No, but what is the link? I couldn't get that.
I think I was hearing that this is the best example to illustrate the point that you're making.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Good. You see, everybody doesn't really matter how learned, how scholarly, how exalted he is, have to surrender to a spiritual master. Because our material qualification doesn't have any relevance to this topic. It's a different subject altogether. Right? Like you may be a PhD, but you may not know anything about music. Right? So when you are learning about music, then you start from Sa Re Ga Ma. Right? It's a different topic altogether. To study music, you have to go to your music teacher. So similarly, materially, it doesn't matter how qualified we are. But when it comes to understanding the spiritual topic, we have to go to a spiritual teacher. And as you said, as you gave the example, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, very, very exalted personality, right? The greatest scholar of their time, the most intelligent person, so much so that the Muslim king appointed them as the chief minister and the finance minister. The two most important portfolios are given to these two persons, although they are not Muslims. It is, right? And so when they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami's presentation is, please tell me who I am. And why am I suffering in this material world? People say that I am very learned, I am very exalted. But actually I am completely ignorant. With that attitude, he goes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he is the chief minister of Bengal at that time. And same with Srila Rupa Goswami. What to speak of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami? Krishna himself went to his guru's ashram. Why did he do that? Does he have to learn anything? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does he have to learn anything? No. Just in order to teach us that this is the way to approach the spiritual subject matter. He is setting the example, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is setting the example. Jajjad acharati srishta tatta deve tarujana sajat pramanam kurute lokastad anubhattat. Because the general tendency of people is to follow the srishta, the exalted personality. Therefore, the exalted personalities must set the right example. Does it answer your question? Thank you. Yes? Maratam.
In devotional service, we see some devotees are suffering from death bada. So, I want to know whether why they are suffering, why Krishna is not protecting them.
Because first of all, I don't know what Pret Bhata is or Food Bhata is. But the thing is, your question is, then if they are surrendered to Krishna, why they are suffering? That's your question. My answer to that will be, there can be two possibilities. One is they are not surrendered enough. Because they are not surrendering properly, that's why Krishna is not taking care. And the other is, maybe Krishna wants them to go through that to become a better devotee. By going through some suffering condition, we improve our devotion. So that's why devotees sometimes, Krishna arranges devotee to go through some difficulties. It's not that when you become a devotee, then everything will become nice and wonderful. Yes, sometimes Krishna will make you go through difficulties for your benefit. Okay. So devotee's business is to accept sukhe dukhe samakritva labha labha ujayana. In happiness or in distress, in victory or in defeat, he maintains his equipoise. He is not affected by it. In happiness also he is happy, in distress also he is unperturbed. Okay, Krishna wants me to go through that. So let me go through it. But by doing that, they enjoy. Apparently Pandavas, such great devotees of Krishna, they are undergoing so many difficulties. But are they going through the difficulties? No, they are enjoying wherever they are. So devotees, in whatever material situation they may be, they are happy. They may be in the forest or they may be in a palace. Because they are not deriving their pleasure from the external material situation. They are deriving their pleasure from their internal relationship with Krishna. Okay, any other question? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.